Government Code. Members of the public are entitled to participate and may attend in person at this time or through remote connections and may address the board during the public hearing or in agenda 2 communications to the board. Is there anybody here that needs to address the board? I don't see anyone. Therefore, we're going to move on to our regular agenda, and Mr. Flores has agreed to give us our invocation this morning. This afternoon. Thank you. Okay, recognition of guests. Do we have any guests?
Most of the people in the room, Mabel Brazel is our librarian, and then also Mark Watt over our art department, music. I think everybody else you know, you've met before. And then I'm not sure as far as anybody might be on the line.
Okay. Any more comments then? We'll go ahead and go on to the next item. At this time, the board will hear comments and questions of individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda. I don't think we have anyone here to do that. Okay. There are no comments or questions. Let's move on to the routine items. I think you've all had a chance to look at the routine matters before the board. Any questions or comments about the minutes and such? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. No unfinished business. We're on down to district. New business, visiting future directions, schedule of accountability reports.
All right. You've had an opportunity, hopefully, to look at our schedule of what we're proposing as far as accountability reports, and this is all a part of our overall strategic plan we've been as you all know, we've been building as far as the different aspects of the strategic plan, and this is the schedule of the reports that we bring to you on a monthly basis. So you will be able to expect, and we will be following, like each month, we'll know this is what we're going to bring to you this particular month, and then it's in the four strategic areas. And so this will be what will happen during the entire year, and will be the background of your different reports, your workshops, you know, that kind of things. And so we put together this schedule. We know that it's going to probably change with time, but it's a good starting point. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is notice deadline to file for application for a place on the ballot.
All right. As you all know, May 7th, 2022 will be the time for the trustee election. And there are requirements that go along with elections, as we all know. And one of the first ones is that we have to have the notice to file that is posted and lets people know that they have the opportunity to file for the election if they're interested. And there's a deadline of December the 20th. We're ahead, but we're going ahead and moving forward with it so we can get it done. And so this will be posted as required. Now, as you know, Michael, Precinct 1, and Mark, Precinct 2, are up for re-election. Marisha, being the at-large, she has to run again, she's never been in an election, but will have to be in an election to be elected, and hers would then be completing the four-year term, unexpired term for Patricia. But then the other two would be six-year terms. And then those elected then beginning in May would serve for that time period. We are also watching what's happening with the county precinct lines. As you all know, the precincts for the college, you're the ones of you who represent a certain precinct that is based on the county's precincts. That's the way it's set up. And so we've been watching that. They've had to adjust that a little bit, as you know. But that was just completed last Friday, I think, they completed that work. And so so that will, of course, be a different situation going into the next election. As I understand it, and this is from reading the Herald story, Precinct 1, I believe, has added, there's more individuals that have been added to that precinct. There's been some adjusting. So anyway, that will be the two precincts that will be up, 1 and 2, and then the at-large. And we'll let you know how that ends up as far as those precinct lines.
Okay, I'm going to need a motion to approve this.
So move.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. Thank you, Ben. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. The is a COVID-19 response.
Okay. This is number 19. Amazing, but it is. And as we do every month, we update you on the way on cases look in the area, as well as recoveries and just what we're seeing. And of course, as you know, what is happening with the COVID penetration in the area has a lot to do with what we do in the way of what status we follow. And so you can see, if you've had the chance to look at the confirmations and then the active cases and recoveries, as we've all known, the last month we have looked a lot better in our whole region. And so this, of course, reflects that. Our cases have gone down dramatically as far as what we were seeing in August and August and September, so we're very pleased with that. Right now, active cases in Tom Green are 178. In August 25th, they were 1,523. And Dawson County, there are 15. And in August, there were 46, 66 in September. In Howard County, there are 72. And in August, there was 220. In September, there was 261. And then you can look at the other counties which we represent, and you can see that same scenario that plays out across the entire service area. It's interesting, as we all know, how it just, there's really no rhyme or reason, how you just kind of start seeing a surge. You know, of course, we all know that, you know, the Delta, experiencing that back in August and September. But we'll see some things start happening on the different campuses for whatever reason. And so we have had a little activity on the Big Spring campus in the last couple of weeks. And again, it's just, you know, you just don't ever know what happens. But legislative outreach is continuing to be done by mail, phone, electronically, virtually. But we did have Representative Darby's town hall on campus in Big Spring last week, socially distanced over in the East Room. And so we are beginning to do things a little different. On page 10, I'm just going to fly through on the things that are still in blue. As far as the funds that we've received from the federal government, I cannot impress upon you enough how many reports that Brenda and group are having to do. There's a federal report, there's the LBB report, there's a coordinating board report, if I left anything out. And then it's like for all the different groups of funding. So there's a lot of overhead. I mean, it's great, and those grants have been wonderful, but at the same time, they do have a lot of oversight relative to the accounting of them. And so we're working on that. And let me be real specific. Brenda and group are working on that. We still, some of the funds, we're being very careful, as I've shared plenty of times before. We have great auditors, and they have been very helpful from the very beginning to make sure that they're guiding us as far as how we should use the funds. And we're in the middle of our audit. They were actually, one of the auditors was on site a couple of weeks ago and for a couple of weeks. And they're still doing off-site auditing as they continue to do our complete audit. And so they are looking at how we've spent our funds. And of course, we are pins and needles making sure that everything was okay. But so far, so good. We'll see. But that is, of course, a big deal. And everybody, we're not the only ones across the state. Everybody is concerned. Everybody's trying to make sure that they're expending these funds in the correct ways. As far as our residence halls, we're continuing to try to do as much social distancing as we can. We have had some issues, exposures in our buildings, and that's created quarantining. We had that happen last year as well. And so we continue to just work with what happens. We continue, as you all know, we all know that there's conflicting messages about what we're supposed to do about certain things from the federal level, the state level. And so we're trying to do our best to read the guidelines, figure out what we're supposed to do, and stay within the lines. And so that continues to happen. We continue to have people that are interested in helping students that could be struggling, or even employees that are struggling, that are willing to give funds. And so we are utilizing those funds in the appropriate way. We also are still working with the FCI. As far as the prison education, that is not just 100% full throttle. We're still working with limited scenarios in the FCI. Of course, and the GO, we know that we're, you know, that's a whole different story. We're not in the GOs anymore. But the FCI is still basically having restricted educational delivery, and so we're working with the prison on that. We make daily decisions relative to what we're going to do, relative to the COVID situation. We are scheduling November the 17th, which is this Wednesday. We'll have a shot vaccine clinic on the La Mesa campus, and we will continue to do that on all of our campuses as appropriate. We have not made any changes in the Open Howard College. We're still in the Amber Alert status, and we will be making a decision on how we're going to be going forward for the spring semester in the next few days. And that's all I would have today.
Hmm? Great. Thank you. Okay, next item on our agenda, the music gift.
Okay. Very exciting news today to kind of work through. First, I want to publicly announce that we did receive a gift back in right around September 30, during our 75th anniversary. We got a gift from Carol Adams. Paul Adams was one of our board members from 1956 to 1973, and Carol is his daughter. And Carol, in fact, their family, they were the family that originally put in the Caroline that the college had several years ago. And they, she wanted to replace it, and so we got a gift from her to do that. And so that has been ordered, and we anticipate that we will be getting it very soon. At the same time, Carol actually has been, she's been on campus, and Julie had an opportunity to visit with her first, and we had an opportunity for her to be on campus, and I guess it was before the pandemic, yeah, that she was here, and we had an opportunity to let her see Dad's picture in the boardroom and just to kind of relive some great memories that she had from her time as a child when her dad was on the board. You can tell that was a very long time that he was on the board, and it was at a very foundational time of the college's history. And so she has very fond memories of the college. And the music building has particular interest for her because, again, the music building actually was coming into being at the same time that her dad was starting on the board. And she can remember as a child being in that music building, and she, as far as piano lessons, she did piano guild there, was able to see recitals, so she has a lot of fond memories about that. So when she first started visiting, we had the opportunity, she was kind of interested in projects and what we were doing, and so our relationship just grew with Carol. And she wanted to do something special for her family. And so she has done something very special, and she has is giving the college $1 million to restore the music building. And so we're very, very excited about that. And that is something all of you know that we've been our music building has been something that we have been, for several years, it has been one of our projects. And there have been different individuals through the years who've expressed an interest in the music building. And in fact, when we did the bond project years ago, we did not include that in the project at that point in time because we thought there was going to be a possibility there was some special, some donor interest in the building. And so this happened, and the timing of it is just great, and she is thrilled. We've had a plan on the music building, for the music building, for good and not 15 years, a long time. And we've had it ready because we knew that it was one of the buildings that really needed to be restored. And it's kind of that front door. A lot of people really love that music building. It just has there's a real ambiance about that building. And so we knew that there would be an opportunity someday that somebody would have an interest in. And Carol is thrilled, and we're thrilled because this is something that's so important to her and her family. And so as a result of that, then, it just kind of all works together, Mr. Chairman and board members, I'm just going to keep going. At the same time, you remember that the G.C. Broughton Jr. Foundation several years ago gave us a gift following the Maria Hogue estate, who they also had given us a gift for the library. And so the library has also been a project that we've been waiting and because we've had interest in that building as well. And so they've been in our Howard College Foundation, and they've been generating interest, and we're ready to get started on doing something with that library. And so the timing of this gift from the music, for the music building, at the same time that that we're really ready to move forward on the library, is the timing is just great because it gives us the opportunity to do some construction work all at the same time. At the same time, I want to remind everyone that the G.C. Broughton Jr. Foundation last year gave us the $250,000 for the nursing scholarships, and you remember that was such a great boost for our students, and we've seen the fruit of that gift, and the students have so greatly prospered from that. They have, for this year, they've awarded us $80,000 that they want us to use for a joint AEL and dental hygiene lab that's already in place over in the Warren Center And so they want us to replace all the computers in that building or in that lab. And then also I want to put some of that money toward the dental hygiene chairs that we have in the clinic. And so we're going to be working with that. And so we'll start moving forward with those purchases. So all of that is coming about right now. And in a minute, when we get to that part on the agenda, as far as the construction and all, then I'll share some more about what we've been working on. But those are the gifts that I'm sharing today, and we're very excited about them.
Very good. Thank you very much. That's really encouraging. Okay, we don't have anything for La Mesa, San Angelo, or SWID today, so we'll go on to performance and measure outcomes, first item being access.
Okay. In this particular, this is one of the items that we were going to bring forward as a part of our accountability report. And so we want to look at what our enrollment looks like in continuing ed, workforce training, what the contact hours, because that matters. A lot of times people will think that, well, really what's happening in continuing ed, and, you know, is it that important? It's very important. And we know that it's very important to the Howard County Junior College District, for sure, because of the number of contact hours that are generated at the prison, at the SCI, and at GEO. We have not submitted those contact hours except for the training that we have done for their employees. And so what you see, and we do have it up on the screens, but what you will see in the numbers, you can see that our enrollment has really changed from the 2019 quarter to the 20 quarter. The difference in that of 284 at SCI, well, that is very reflective of what was happening during the pandemic. And then you can see how we're beginning to see some restoration in our numbers as far as what's going on with workforce training. At the same time, you can see on the Big Spring campus there was a decline. What is that? That is a result of, that's GEO, and it's those employees that were not being able to train because of the fact that GEO is closing. So that gives you an idea about enrollment, contact hours, same thing. Our contact hours are coming up. Obviously, those are the things that we're trying to work on. We're trying to come out of the impact of the pandemic into trying to get back to normal times. But I will tell you, we're also trying to pay attention not just year to year, but we're trying to go back and look at what did it look like the last base year. Because the last base year is, of course, how we will, our money will then be impacted going forward. And so we're really trying to pay attention to that. So we are going in the right direction, but we're not where we want to be yet. And I would say that would be the crux of that. We were down a little bit in truck driving, but overall, mainly it was the GEO. Brian, Amy, anybody want to add anything to that? Okay, do you all have any questions? Okay.
Okay, student success.
Nothing on that.
Nothing on that. Community and workforce development.
All right, again, this is a part of our accountability calendar, and Brian put together a PowerPoint to kind of take you through the community and workforce development section and an A and B of performance excellence. Brian, you want to work the board through that?
Hi, good afternoon. Just to kind of go through where we are, kind of where we with the community and workforce development, wanted to kind of iterate what we've been doing with MZ and learning class now. If you remember back in June, we did a report of a program demand gap analysis through MZ, which we partnered with them through our Title V grant. to focus on what is our labor market analytics looking like for the 13 counties that we serve. They recently merged with Burning Glass, which is another labor market analytics, so we're getting more data coming in through multiple job postings and people's resumes and so forth. So we're getting more information coming in through that merger, so it's giving us more things that we can utilize to see kind of what the labor market is looking like for the 13 County Power Public Service. This report is really looking more towards trends recently as the past 3 months over looking at what kind of job postings have been coming through with the 13 counties. Looking through on the next slide, you look at the top 10 jobs that are looking at something with an associate or at least with post-secondary non-community work, so something that Howard College could offer to different, not only looking at what the employers are looking for, but also helping students determine what kind of skills that they would need. As you see, the heavy tractor, trailer, truck driver is still kind of one that is up there in the top listing of postings that are coming. You can also see a lot of other things that Howard College already offers in various areas, like medical assistants, emergency medical technicians, hairdressers, respiratory therapists, and so forth. So it really shows that we have a good pull of what is kind of going on and what the job markets are looking at right now and what they look like in 10 years based off of the current information. What's really good about the labor market analysis that we're not showing on here is it really gives us where we can dig in and look at these specific fields on the SOC code, and within there you're able to see what jobs or what industries are particularly hiring and what particular businesses are putting those job postings out there. It also allows us to really look through and see the skills that they are looking for within the job description to make sure that we are aligning for what is needed for these students. And so this is the first one that really focuses on the associate level and down for students within our area. The next slide focuses on the bachelor's degree program. So again, helping our students who come here and then go off to a four-year university, looking at those 13 counties and the job postings that are out there right now. Again, you do see a lot of things that we kind of already worked towards, like registered nurses. There's some things within the business area, you know, different areas that students can start here and then move forward to more degrees. And again, similar to the associate program, we're able to look at who's actually hiring these or who's posting these jobs, what skills are they looking for, and how can we align to make sure we stay in tune with our labor market. This is, again, it's pretty reactive using not only data that MZ collects or Burning Glass, but it's looking at ONET information, it's looking at workforce information. So with the coming and changing of our counties here, this is going to be really good for us to really get a good pulse of what's happening as we keep looking at the changes that occur. And that's what I had in terms of the community and workforce development information. If there's any questions on that part. All right. Moving to performance excellence, we wanted to show a college comparison of how the preliminary numbers for fall are looking compared to the peer colleges that we align with that are small colleges for the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, and then also how are our numbers looking compared to the schools within our region. So when looking at the small college schools, which you see the list in that first group, you can see we bounced back pretty well from 2020 to 2021. There's still room to grow in terms of how getting back to like a pre-COVID type number. But one thing when looking at these preliminary fall numbers for these schools, you can see we're actually higher than most in terms of bouncing back to the previous year. Some schools are still struggling in terms of their enrollment from fall 20 to fall 2021. So we are making kind of a turnaround in terms of the pre-COVID numbers. The fall 2019 numbers are there as well. You can see we're still not to where we want to be, where we were in fall 2019. I think the ideal world is getting back to looking at previous base years. Fall 2018, I believe, is one of those base year type numbers. So we're heading in the right direction, but we want to work towards really getting to where we were previously. The numbers are also still pretty consistent when looking at the West Texas region. Again, we're bouncing back pretty well compared to other schools in terms of the enrollment from this year to last year. Is there any questions on that information? Anything you want to add to
the report?
Moving on to the CESE, the Community College Survey of Student Engagement. This is a qualitative survey we give our students typically every 2 years. This is a survey through the University of Texas in Austin. They look at how we engage our students and if, you know, where can we improve on or where are we doing excel, where are we excelling at. This survey, again, focuses on community colleges. This report, again, typically we do every 2 years. We were supposed to run it in spring 2020. COVID really kind of put an end to that, so we had to wait till spring 2021 to run our survey. When we look at our results, there was a total of 411 schools in the cohort, which is anybody who has taken the survey from 2019 to 2021 and based off of schools. So 411 schools are in this cohort. 200 of them are considered small college like ourselves. When you look at the report, you have the standard 50. That is when they normalize the information or standardize it. That's where about normal is for 411 colleges. The gold being the top 10% schools. The blue being Howard College. When you look at all 411 schools, you see that, you know, we are a little bit lower in terms of active and collaborative learning, but we're at least above bar on the other four and being really good in support for learning. There's one area of improvement we can work on, and I'll talk more about that here in a second, but there's one we are actually doing really well on, which is the support for learning. When we look at the CESE report, again, we look at it in terms of how we rank and compare to other schools in the state of Texas. CESE does a report that focuses on small colleges, the Texas Small College Report, and this is the group of what they classify as a Texas Small College. And so the next results will be reflective of how we've done compared to these other schools. And this just shows when they took the survey. Both of them, like us, are kind of off track by year. And so a lot of them did them this year, except Grayson and Panola. They did it the year before in 2019. When we compare our numbers compared to the small college report, again, we are struggling in the active and collaborative learning. There's area of improvement there amongst the small college. But again, when we look at our support for learners, we are doing very well in being up by 6.9 points. When looking at these numbers, what Steffi said, if you have something above or below 5 points, that is something that's really, either something you really need to work on or something you're doing really well. And so the support for learners is definitely one that we are really excelling at. We really did better compared to all small schools in all the other four categories. But again, that support for learners is really showing a high number that we are really supporting our students. And there's some further data on the next slide that will show what particular areas we are supporting our students. The next slide, again, focusing on an active learning, the area that we can improve on. Most of where the student, where we're seeing a significant, we're not doing well, is a collaborative project of our students either doing projects within class or doing projects outside of class. This is an area of improvement. Working on projects is, again, probably a tough spot to do for COVID, but it's also probably everybody's experiencing this. Why is ours lower? I don't know. That's something that we'll be working on and addressing with our faculty and our students. How can we be more collaborative, especially being that, you know, that is a component of our program learning of teamwork and collaboration. But those are the key areas that we have room to improve on in terms of the active learning. On the next slide, focusing on student support, key areas that show really good improvement, one that showed the greatest number that we did the best on was the academic advising and planning. We've made academic advising a key priority here at Howard College. Not only has it been something of a focus within our QEP, but we've also then have focused it on our Texas Pathways model, that advising our students to make sure that they're on a path and stay on a path, and planning out their academic achievements is something that we've done well at, and it's reflective in the survey. Other areas that I think are looking at in the previous part was coping with non-academic responsibilities, and also providing financial support, the support of their education. Again, other initiatives that Howard College has focused on, either through the QEP or the financial assistance of students in emergency needs and so forth. I think this is really where that is starting to shine, and students are noticing that. And so those are really showing off where we are doing well with our students in terms of supporting them as they go through our institution. And I believe, the last slide there, and, you know, again, the last time we did this survey was 2018, based off of the same questions that we give our students. This gives a year-to-year comparison of how we've done. We've mostly improved in the last three areas of academic challenge, student-faculty interaction, and support for students. Again, being that big jump, being the support for learners. Again, we really digress in the active and collaborative learning, and that's something that we really need to focus on. But this is giving you a report of how we done in 2018 and how we did in 2021. We will be repeating this DESE survey. Typically, like I said, we do it every 2 years. We are redoing it again this spring to get us back on track where we are in the same cycle. So we missed 2020. We had to do it in 2021. We're going to redo it in 2022, and then from there we'll go back to 2024. And that's the information from our DESE survey. Any questions on our survey information?
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brian.
It. Okay, our next item on the agenda is the quarterly investment report. I'll have a chance to look at that. Any questions or comments on it? I need a motion to approve that quarterly investment report.
So moved.
Have a motion. Have a second?
I'll second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you. And the annual investment report, we've had a chance to read that also. Briefings. I need any comments on that one. I'm going to need a motion to approve that. Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Monitoring, we don't have any bids today, but we have some catalog changes.
All right. Policy 2.16 is the one that relates to the election. And again, that's basically just updating all the dates. Those dates primarily come from the state. So again, we're just updating the policy to reflect what's happening.
Okay.
And then the other changes that are included are catalog changes regarding program changes. Amy did most of that work. Amy, is there anything you'd want to specifically say about any of that?
Pretty self-explanatory. We are deleting the cosmetology instructor certificate because it's no longer needed, and they don't test for that any longer. That's not going to be a change. The other is the course change.
Answering questions. Okay. Any questions for that? Need a motion to approve those changes.
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. New alignment, realignment positions here at the college.
All right. As we've been discussing at each point, just kind of how the progress that we're making relative to the closure of the GO prisons and what we're doing with at the FCI. And we continue to work with the FCI. As I've mentioned before, several of our employees, the GO employees, and I went through some of that last month, so I won't detail it all out again. But we do have two of the GO faculty members that are beginning to and probably will be ready to begin at the FCI within the next 2 weeks. So that is beginning to take place. And then we have others that, in fact, today that have been part of the personnel matters, and they are filling jobs that are available in the AEL area. And so, again, we're working through all that, and I just want to thank Warden Thompson again for working with us from the very beginning and helping us be aware of what was going on so that we could begin the transition and working through. And so that is working well, and those individuals are transitioning to new positions, or they are in being able to transition into positions that come open, and then some of them have retired or resigned. That's all I have on that.
All right. Okay, thank you. Our next item is construction renovation. Terry, anything for us?
I think probably the most significant thing is that this roof that we had finished in the last few days, we had a rain, and for the first time in at least the last 5 years, we had no leaks inside the building right now. So I think that's that's a good testament to the work that's been done out there, and now the work is focusing on this campus.
Is the cold weather
waiting on materials to come in that's delayed the starting of some of the projects here that we're doing? But I was talking to WCR this morning, and they're expecting a truck this week. So,
and that elastomer, is the cold weather going to affect the curing of that material?
Well, of course it can, just like rainy weather or windy weather. Weather can really impact what's being done. But here in West Texas, sometimes we've seen 80-degree weather in December. So, probably February typically seems to me the worst month. So we should be able to get quite a bit done.
Good. As long as it stays up maybe in the 40s, at least we can get it to cure out.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Is there any further word on that the change order going above the cap?
No. We're moving forward with y'all's approval last month. We're moving forward with those projects, and that was some of the stuff that was in the report. As far as that coating has been put on, the things that we needed to do, we've been able to do.
Waiting for some other board or something to possibly weigh in.
No, because with y'all made that decision based on the emergency order, and so that was fine to go down that path. But what you're getting at, Mr. Sajic, is the fact that as we're waiting on hailstorm number 3, because we're waiting for the traveler's final dispensation on that, that could be impacted as far as how we move forward with that. And so we could be following up to ask more information from that particular agency.
I can't remember the exact date. I think it was around the 20th of last month was the last communication we had. We were told that we should have something in 7 to 10 days, and now we're almost a month later.
Yeah.
So it's just difficult.
Yeah. Waiting.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it. Does that cover the next item on the hailstorm?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Construction project architectural service.
All right. So as I mentioned earlier in the meeting about great news with the gifts that we had received, that also then, now we're moving into construction. And so what's going to happen next? And so as you know, you are ready for professional services. I'm going to need some water. All of a sudden, sorry, I can see it coming. I don't know what. Sorry.
Is it your night job out the gym that's giving you?
I think it is. It's getting me.
All the cedars blowing smoke up in the air.
Or something. Yeah, I'll do fine, and then I'll just have this little pop.
Just get off that cotton stripper.
I know it.
You run the press, or what do you do?
You know, I have always tried to do whatever they need me to do. That's right. I just stand ready to go.
Yep. To be done.
That's right.
Hub is important.
That's right. Uh-huh. Hurry. I'll try to get started, but okay. I think it's calming down. Okay. And so professional services, you have already, as far as your consulting architect for general services for the district, is Phil Ferquin. And Phil, we've been working with Phil for several years. He works, you know, we work with him on lots of different projects. Thank you. I appreciate that, Emma. And so he, as I mentioned, we already had, and when I say plans, we didn't have construction plans, but we had basic diagrams and kind of renderings of the different, you know, the new building through the years. And so now, because of what's happening with now having the gift, then we can start moving into actual plan, construction plans, and you know, we're going to have to do that. They've also given us OPC, opinion of probable cost, that has also helped us as far as knowing how much the projects could cost for the music building. And then the same thing on the library. We've been working with Parkhill Smith and Cooper, Brandon Young, who is the architect that actually is in the Abilene office of Parkhill Smith and Cooper. We have worked with Parkhill Smith and Cooper, of course, through the bond project and various projects that we've had, our San Angelo campus when we did our construction there, and they've helped us even with some things at SWID. And so Brandon, then, when we did our sub work, if you remember, we were doing, at that point, we were also looking at the possibility of doing some things on the music building at the same, not the music building, the library, same time with the sub. And so we had worked with Parkhill Smith and Cooper as far as them providing the professional services, architectural engineering services for that project. And so to make everything just official again and get things moving again, the want to ask you all to reaffirm Phil's standing appointment for professional services as the consulting architect, so he can continue on that music, on the music building, and then officially again reaffirm Parkhill Smith and Cooper. Brandon is the principal architect that will work with on the library project for that particular project, and then Terry and Fabian and I have been having different conversations with the architect since we got the great news last week, and we were trying to kind of move ahead with some of the conversations. But what we envision is that both architects, then Brandon will start doing the plans for the library, and Phil will be working on the plans for the music building, and then we'll be able to come back, and what we would do, we would come back at a later meeting and recommend to you the construction method, and then once that is determined, and they'll help guide us in that, then once that's determined, then we'll put it out on the market, so that companies can express interest in the projects. And having those two projects like that, we think that's going to garner more interest and could also possibly help with pricing. And so we'll get those out of the market and then go through that RFP process and then finalize the recommendation, bring it to you, and we're hopeful that by the spring, we would be able to come back with a recommendation. In visiting with the architects, for both of them, as far as their timelines, they're going to need a little bit of time, obviously, to get the plans now to take them from just this, you know, aerial, broad view drawing into the actual construction documents. So that's going to take some time. And so they would work on that for the next, I'm just going to say 3 months. And then, and again, we'd probably bring back the construction method suggestion for your approval prior to that, then again, it goes, it would then go out on the streets for the contractors to review and to make bids. And then hopefully we could get something approved by April, May, and then that would allow us then to begin the projects. When we've talked about how we would approach it, we, of course, we've got a lot of experience with this during the bond project. Excuse me. We found that we could live in a lot of different places on campus, and we've done that, and we know how to do that. And the Coliseum is great for helping us adapt when we have projects that are happening. And so we would look at the East Room. Of course, Maver has been a part of this planning and discussion. She's already been going through and started some work as far as going through the stacks and as far as looking, you know, looking at what books and, you know, what we can, weeding out what is not necessary so that when we have the opportunity to move out, then we don't have as much to move out. So she's already been working on that, has been working on it probably, 3 years? Yeah. And so we're ready because of that. In the conversations in the music building, we're not as... She's ready. But Mark and group, they still got some work to do. So Mark and group, they're, you know, with this news today, because they just are finding this... Maver knew that we had this other gift and it was waiting to for the right time. But today was Mark's first knowledge and he was here for the great news. And so we had given him the heads up that he needed to start working on some of that choir music. So he's going to have to get high behind on that because only he can do that. So we will, at the right time, we would move everybody out. Just like we did when we were doing our different buildings during the bond project. And so we will move them out, and of course that'll be the kind of conversation that we'll have with contractors. And so we would stage them over, again, music building, Coliseum, other places on campus. But that'll be a part of the fun. And what we want to try to do is take advantage of summer months if we can, and hopefully the supply chain will get better, just like Terry's already alluded to today with the, you know, with what's going on with roofing materials, that is the way it is across all phases of construction. And so we know that could be a challenge, but hopefully, because we're not quite ready, it'll get better and better every month, and maybe it'll help us go a little faster. But that's the plan, and what we refer to it is we're going to have a really big closet cleaning, and so that's what will happen as we move out of the buildings. Where Steve will be likely having an auction for the materials that we're not going to use that need to be put in auction, and there'll probably be some things that, you know, literally will end up in the trash, but we will work through those projects as we get to get move into that next part. So,
can you tell me how we heard about the grants, which are fantastic?
Yeah.
Can you tell me the total projected that you're looking to spend on each building?
Until we get, well, not exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, some, like on the music building, there's already some things planned for it relative to the roof, because that's part of the hailstorm. And so some of those things are already in there. It's probably between the two of them, about $2 million, something like that, ish.
We won't know to the architect.
Well, no, you're not going to know exactly.
Yeah, right.
Until it's done, but
right.
So you're looking at something over $1 million in the music building and something under $1 million in the library.
Probably.
Kind of.
Sort of. Yeah, that's what we're looking at. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if we go through construction management, I wouldn't say we can bid it out for maybe the long run, say something like cost money.
That's possible.
Possibly.
Yes, sir, Mr. Flores, yes, because that's what happens, you know. Right now, the architects are doing what they call the OPC's opinion of probable cost, but then until you put them out there and people bid on them, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. And so so that's why I'm just kind of hedging, you know. I mean, that's kind of, we think, you know, it's going to be around that. But then, yes, when you put it out there, and that's the other thing that's so positive about having two projects like that and the fact their proximity to each other, that'll be really good for a contractor because they can work off of those two buildings easily, you know, literally have their trades going from one building to the next. And so we're excited about that as well. So
okay.
I need your approval on those, the reaffirmations of those architects for those projects.
Okay, I have a
motion
approved. I have a second. Have a second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Okay. Audit report.
Okay. As a part of your packet, you had the engagement letter for auditing services. And as I've already mentioned, one of the auditors was already on site for a couple of weeks, and she's been gone a little over a week, 10 days, I guess. And Brenda and group, Candace with financial aid, we still have a lot of auditing things that are happening from a distance, but they're moving along, and so we're hopeful we're going to be done mid-December is our goal.
All right. Your report, our improving activity.
Okay, I'll try to take it through really quick. Okay, as far as upcoming activities, you have your calendars in front of you, and I won't go through a lot of this because, again, it's athletic events and all those things that happen. We do have a music recital tonight at the Hall Auditorium. That recital is for students that this is like sometimes their first recital. They're taking private lessons, and so it's a little intimidating. But anyway, it's their recital. Next week will be a student holiday, not a college holiday, but it's a student holiday, and for the week, the employees work Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is the Thanksgiving holiday. Then, again, after we return from the Thanksgiving holiday, we do have a play, Merry Christmas, the George Bailey drama, and that'll be in the Hall Auditorium from November 30 to December the 4th. We also, as far as the leadership summit, I'll just talk about that right now. This is
okay.
Part of that. As we have talked about multiple times with what is happening with GO, we did have the job fair last Friday. That was, I would say, successful. We had 29, I think, people that attended, Rhonda.
Employers?
Yeah, I think.
You said about 50.
Oh, we ended up having 50.
Wow.
Okay. Didn't see that many. Okay, so we had a great number of employers that came out for the job fair. That was a joint effort between Green Basin Workforce Board, the Workforce Solutions, the Chamber, the EDC, and the college. And it was an event, again, for employers to be able to find employees and then job seekers to find jobs. It was not designed just for the GO employees. It was designed for anyone that was looking for a job. But obviously, we did have several of the GO employees that did participate. That's been part of our strategy, to be working on things that we can do to help stabilize our community. And so that was a first step. Mark Willis, who is our EDC director, he came up with the idea that we needed to have some kind of a Howard County Leadership Summit. And really, it has to do with, GO is definitely is part of the backdrop of that, but it's reflective of the entire planning that we need to do as a community, regardless of the industry or the business. And that is always to be looking ahead, always trying to be strategizing for the future, and some of that can relate to how do you diversify and what do you do because things happen in the market. You want to be careful, just like Brian was talking about with the MC, you know, what's happening with businesses and in what we can do to keep our area strong. And so he came up with the idea of having a leadership summit. As you all know, we have a group called the Howard County Group, County Group, that we meet. It's just a small group, and we meet on a monthly basis. And we had one of these similar, but not like this one, years ago. Some of you were members of the board when that happened. We had it over in the Hall Center. But this is going to be different. This is going to be, again, this is based on Mark's vision, again, from the point that every entity, every group that is going to be a part of that leadership summit will bring something to the table that night that will help the entire group begin to strategize and think in terms of how do we move forward, what do we do in the future. So obviously the Coliseum is the largest place that we can get those numbers of people. Again, we're trying to keep the social distancing in mind. And so we're working on, we will have that on, it's going to be on Monday, December the 6th at 6:30. And again, we'll have it on the floor of the Coliseum. We'll have the different groups. Everybody will have their table. We're going to have two screens in the front for those that want to do PowerPoints. And it'll give everybody an opportunity to give a quick overview of what they see, as what are their challenges, what are their plans, and then hopefully that cross training of what everybody's doing. And at the same time, hopefully, germination of ideas that can come from what each other, what they're working on, and how we can fit in will be an outcome of that. Now, as I said, obviously, at this particular meeting, it happens to be that we have the scenario of GO in the background, and we know with that closure, that is an impact on our community. But again, really, and I think Mark's vision is that we should have something like that on an annual basis, because it just happens that it's GO this time, but it could be another company another year, and that we need to always stay ahead of plan, or trying to stay ahead of the planning as much as we possibly can and looking out ahead. And so that will be on December the 6th. And then your next board meeting will then be on the 13th. And then those who are on the foundation meeting, you'll see that you have one on the 15th. And then we have a pinning and a graduation in San Angelo on the 16th. And I won't go beyond that as far as what we have on the calendar. Okay. Recognitions. We have had... over the last month, we've had Phi Theta Kappa installations on the Big Spring and San Angelo campuses. We've also had a music recital. And again, we're trying to do everything we can, just little steps, just start restoring normalcy. We got some more great news this morning for our music department. Joseph Fierro, a Howard College freshman, was chosen for the Texas Two-Year College Choral Director's All-State Choir. Sorry. Joseph was the highest-ranking tenor during the Region 1 auditions that were held here this past Saturday. And he'll join other top two-year college students from around the state for a clinic and performance at the annual Texas Music Educators Convention in San Antonio in February. Okay. All right. I think we're getting close. Okay, we've talked about that. Okay. Legislative, I've already mentioned the fact that we had the town hall for Representative Darby last week. And then this morning, we have started, if you remember, there's the commission that was a part of the legislative session to look at community college funding. And one of the first meetings happened this morning. And so we're beginning in earnest to try to get people to review the way that community colleges are funded in the state of Texas, because it really hasn't changed for decades. And so we feel like that it's time to really look at how we're funded. Okay. And then trustee training. Marisha is going to be going to training on December 2nd and 3rd in Austin. She'll be complete. Okay, and your business items again for Monday, December the 13th. We'll see how some of these different projects progress that we're working on, and we'll come back with that for the December meeting. And Mr. Chairman, board members, that's all I got.
Thank you very much. Any more comments from anyone? Anything to add or delete? I don't have anything to add or delete, so therefore, it's already given. I declare this meeting adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. This is one of the ones that he'll tell you about all the time. You get through at 1:30, hour meeting.
It's long.
This is how they're supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying this is an example.
Try.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.